Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PPC Show, brought to you by AdStage. I am Paul Wicker.
And I'm JD Brader.
And today is January 35th, oh, wow, 31st, 2020. And this is Revenue Roundup Week, Part 1. If you listened last week, we said we're going to do a bit of a revenue roundup as all these public companies publish their numbers. Also, apologies for January 35th. I don't know where that came from.
Just adding extra days, you know, like... I felt like January flew by, but, you know, for Paul, he was like, nah, January was that good. I'm going to tack on some more days.
Four more days. That's too funny. It is January 31st. It's the last day of January. We just had, what were the award ceremonies? The Grammys, the Oscars.
Last week was Grammys.
Grammys. It is Grammys.
Oscars coming up. That's the big one in 2 weeks.
And are you a awards person? Do you watch these things?
Oh, I do. I do. Meg and I love it. We like, you know, to guess. It's always fun. You know, you're like, oh, who's going to win? We try to do a good job of keeping up with all the movies and going to see all the Best Picture nominations. And then putting together our ballots. Like, we don't really do the dress-up Oscar night or anything. But, Grammys I'm not so much into, and Emmys. But we do like the Globes, the SAGs, and the Oscars.
Wow, you are an awards person. You just did it all. I mean, we're not into it. Like, we're not super into it. Your example is how you don't dress up for awards night. Is that a thing? People do that?
Oh, people have Oscar watch parties. Yeah. Back in Denver, we had some friends, and they would have dress-up parties, and Meg and I would show up in our jeans and T-shirt.
Right.
And be like, hey, guys, we're here. Sorry, I don't have a tuxedo.
Well, yeah, you could be like whatever celebrity is, you know, like protesting the awards that year. That could be an homage.
Did you see Brad Pitt having to wear a name tag?
I saw the headlines.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, they made him wear it. Was that the joke, that they made him wear one?
Yeah.
That's funny.
They pinned it on him and everything. It's like, you don't know who Brett. And it's at an Oscars lunch for Oscar nominees.
Right.
It's like, I think we all know who each other are. It's not like I'm getting a nominee for, like, best film editing for a comedy that also did a drama of a, you know, whatever, right?
Wow.
Anyway,
well, and
we pulled some insights, Paul.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about you could use Quora to somehow predict who's going to win. So what happened here?
Yeah. So again, this is part of the playbook. We talked about how JD was at AdStage and he started working on the benchmark report. I completely forgot when I even started that, but now I'm using some Quora data to see what other kind of benchmarks I can pull and what other kind of predictions that we can make based off the conversation, based off the buzz happening on Quora. So we went in, we pulled some for the Oscars. We went through the best pictures. Pretty interesting stuff there to see, again, how the Joker had a good pop. You see Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood doing well. Parasite coming up. We just watched it last night.
What did you think?
It's weird, man. It's good. It's really good. I just didn't see where it was going.
Well, don't tell me. I haven't seen it. Everybody tells me I have to see it. It's subtitled, right?
It is subtitled, yes. I watched it off Amazon. I think it's also available on, like, iTunes. So,
nice.
And they do have English subtitles. But it's pretty good. It was really good. So we went through that. We did that. We looked at the Grammys. Pretty interesting to see how Billie Eilish it came out of nowhere and, like, really took over when you compare it to, like, Lil Nas. You compare it to Lizzo and the conversations happening on Quora. You can take a look at Star Wars and Avengers and Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones just crushed them, which is insane. And then we also looked at the Super Bowl this Sunday. So we also pulled some, you know, some stats around the Chiefs versus the 49ers.
Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. I think that's Monday Night Football. But nonetheless, so who's going to win? Can we predict, like, the winner then? Why don't you pretend like you can and pick a winner?
I mean, Quora, right now the Quora conversation is really buzzing around the Chiefs. Which to me, I actually feel like, you know, hey, they haven't been in the Super Bowl in 50 years. That is definitely, newsworthy, buzzworthy. But when you look at the 49ers, I mean, this quarterback coming out of, like, nowhere and leading them to, like, a 13-3 season, I think that's also, like, a really amazing story because he now joins, like, Joe Montana, Steve Young. like Alex Smith. Like, these are like three big quarterbacks on the 49ers that he's now joining the ranks with. And I think they're all going to be in the Hall of Fame. So, hey, this guy continues on. He might be earning that contract. I think it's like $137 million or something.
Wow.
Insane. Anyway.
It's like what I make. Alex Smith's people are very happy that you just put him in the same category as Steve Young and Joe Montana. I mean, he was a good quarterback for the Niners, but he was no Steve Young or Joe Montana.
He took them to a Super Bowl. They lost, but, you know. Yeah. Hey.
I mean, anyway. Those other two are part of the great ones.
I know.
Same thing with Garoppolo. If he makes, you know, 1 year, he does well. You know, if he strings together a dynasty, we'll put him up there.
But, okay.
I'm not even, and for the record, I'm not a Niners fan. I'm a New York Football Giants fan. Eli Manning for that Hall of Fame. but I remember the Niners were very good for much of like the New York Football Giants history. So there was a lot of Niners, Giants, NFC battles over the years. So I remember Steve Young very, very fondly. All right, that's our sports portion of today's podcast.
Entertainment. This has been a big month. I think it's a fun wrap up.
True. Yeah. Big highlights in entertainment and sports. Are you doing anything big for the game? Are you going somewhere or doing something?
Honestly, I was putting together the insights and I realized it was this weekend. So I was like, oh, wait, it's this Sunday? Oh, crap. So no, I don't have any plans, you know, I don't really have any traditions around this. Again, what I like queso, and I like those little like smokies, those little like weenies, and I like to make little pigs in the blanket out of them. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone listening? No
one. I'm sure one or two people. Anyone not hit pause yet? Anyone not hit fast forward 30 seconds? Pigs in the blanket.
Brought to you by Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer and Tostitos. yes, get me some spinach dip or artichoke dip, whatever. As long as it's got a lot of like cream cheese in it or whatever makes it delicious.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
The green stuff, no one, you know, you don't taste the spinach and the spinach dip. All right, well, let's talk search and social media numbers. So last week we said we'd talk about revenue. I don't know if we really call it the revenue roundup because I was trying to get them all done, but then I realized that a lot of numbers don't come out until February. So like Pinterest comes out February 6th. Google's isn't out yet. Etsy's doesn't come out till February 25th. Snapchat's February 4th. But there's a few big ones that drop, so we might as well kind of touch on those. I'm making a nice little spreadsheet, and when we get them all, I'll tweet the spreadsheet that has like...
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We should release that and like in the podcast notes and then we tweet.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I never put anything in the notes. I should. All those things we say will be in the notes. I'm like 1 out of 10 make it in the notes because I forget. And let's face it, our editing budget is about 35 cents. But this is great. I'll tweet it. And yes, maybe this one we really will put in the notes. So why don't we start with Facebook? So Facebook, people have been saying they're doing all these terrible things and all this drama at Facebook, but their stock keeps going up, up, up. They're unstoppable, but it looks like they're not unstoppable. They have been stopped. Their stock is down a bit after they published their numbers. And just to give you the number, there's three numbers I think I'll try to report on for all these. Revenue, net income, and then users. Some people do daily active, some do monthly active. Yeah. Others do something else, so we'll pick a user thing. So for Facebook, it's $21 billion in quarterly revenue, $7.3 billion in net income, and 2.5 billion monthly active users. Those are the Facebook numbers. And, of course, that's for all Facebook properties, IG and WhatsApp and anything else Facebook or Facebook-related.
Pretty crazy. I mean, here's the number that I like, ARPU. And you guys are out there like, what was that?
Yeah,
excuse me? Is that a Simpsons character?
It's close.
Yeah, isn't it? That's pretty good, huh? So, average revenue per user in the U.S. and Canada. Any guesses? Anyone out there? $41.41 in Q4. You are worth $41 to Facebook.
Which is crazy.
That's crazy. That's how much money. Yeah. That's up from $34.86 year over year. So really great growth. And then again, outside of that, you compare that to Europe. Europe was $13.21.
So they are selling your data to advertisers for about $41 a quarter. So what's that, about $164 every year Facebook makes selling your attention to an advertiser. Interesting way of looking at it, J.D. Prater. Some other notes I jotted down, too.
It's basically a Netflix subscription.
Yeah, $160, you're right. Let's see, Zuckerberg had warned. So the kind of the negative about them was that their profitability has dropped. And it, I forget what the number was, but essentially it's down over what the estimate was. So even though revenue is still up and it grows fast and they're less profitable, and they're saying it's because they've spent, well, Zuck is saying they've already warned that addressing hate speech, election interference, and other content moderation and safety issues would be costly, and the profits shrunk faster than Wall Street thought. So that's why their stock took a hit. Makes sense.
Funny. So doing the right thing costs money is what I'm hearing here.
Right.
And
yeah.
Barely doing the right thing, doing the bare minimum of the right thing.
And they've also been getting knocked around by the Dems in all the presidential debates.
It's true.
About this whole political ad situation where, you know, Zuckerberg said they're not going to stop misinformation, even if they know it's directly misinformation, if it's a political ad. And last note I found interesting was Facebook dropped out of the top 10 places to work in, like, those, you know, where do you want to work surveys? So they're... All this negative press seems to be having an impact on their ability to probably hire folks, too.
I mean, a guy did kill himself last year at Facebook.
Yikes, I did not know that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you the story off air. It's crazy. Basically, performance reviews. That's the short, right? Performance reviews, got a bad one.
Well, and there's a lot of pop culture, but in popular media, you know, Facebook has become a punching bag for, you know, teen depression, and a lot of people saying, you know, it's like the new cigarette company, the new tobacco. So, you know, if you used to be like, I got to have a Facebook, Mom, and now it's like becoming more of like a grimace face. I got a job at Facebook, but I don't work on Facebook. I work on Instagram.
Exactly.
I work on WhatsApp. I don't work on Facebook. So the product's not really cool anymore, and now there's all these like issues popping up. So that's Facebook. Still a ton of users, but profits slowing. On the flip side, you have two companies we'll talk about, Amazon and Apple. They are just exploding.
Insane growth. You want to do Amazon? Let's do Amazon.
Yeah.
Because people love, I mean, they're now part of the triathlete, right? I mean, they're now number three. I will put it into perspective, though, like how far away they still are, even though they are number three. So Google will release their earnings. Probably going to be around $40 billion is my guess in quarter. Facebook just reported $20 billion, so 20.7.
Yep.
You're right, so $21 billion. Amazon just reported $4.8 billion. Right. I mean, yes, a ton of money per quarter, but it's still really far away from catching up to Facebook and Google. I think those two are just worried that it's peeling money away from where, you know, that money would have been spent with them, maybe. But still, $4.8 billion up 41%.
And just to be clear, that's Amazon's advertising unit.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Like, Amazon, of course, makes a ton of money with Prime and e-commerce and all that. So for the entire business, Amazon was a $72 billion company. That's, you know, 3.5 times the size of Facebook. But if you just isolate their advertising business, it gets much smaller. And it's growing pretty fast. Both Amazon and Amazon Ads are growing fast. Amazon, thanks to Amazon Web Services, AWS.
Yes.
If you're a startup and you have software, you're running, you know, on AWS. So they pretty much own that market. Although we'll talk maybe Microsoft, too. Their fastest growing business unit is Azure, which is the AWS competitor. So really, Amazon is doing well there, but their advertising sales specifically grew. I think it was something like 95% year over year, in addition to like quarter over quarter growing. And that was like the fastest growing segment. So,
yeah, I mean, really good. I mean, 41% up. You know, people were kind of giving them a hard time because last quarter they grew 45%. And I'm like, hey, man, these are percentages. Like, this is still $4.8 billion that they're making. Really impressive.
And then let me see. Do I have anything else to say on Amazon? Nope. Just fastest growing category. Okay. And then... Apple also, like, so we don't usually talk about Amazon and Apple that much, but they both have ad networks. You can buy Apple ads. If you're selling a mobile game, you absolutely are buying Apple ads. Other categories, not so much. But if you're buying app downloads, you're running Apple ads. And they don't break out their revenue, so we just know their big number. They had a $91.8 billion quarter, best quarter ever, according to Tim Cook and Math. Most of that comes from hardware sales. So that's, you know, people who buy mostly iPhones. So $79 billion in hardware sales. And then they also make money selling services, and they have ads and a bunch of other stuff. But they are, I think, the most profit, or in terms of revenue, the biggest company. We'll see what Google comes out with, but I think it's hands down, like, Apple at $92 billion. Like, nobody's close. I think they're 2x what people expect Google to be, so.
Yeah, agreed. I think that is correct. I think Google will be right around 40, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I mean, that's still huge money. Like, you don't even think about it. You're like, wow, you sold $56 billion worth of iPhones in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Like, in the last quarter. We're not talking overall in the year. In a quarter, $56 billion. This one is one that caught my attention, though, Paul, and I think this is where marketers will be really interested in, is they're growing really fast with mobile. So you have an iPhone. It comes with Safari. And most people are just sticking with Safari, probably making Google their search engine, but not their browser. That's what's important. So I'll give you a few numbers here. In the U.S., the mobile browser, Safari is number one. 53% of users are in and using Safari. Chrome is second with 38.5%, probably Android users. So that's a really big deal, because now you factor in all of their privacy and security that they're going after, right? When you think about cookie tracking, when you think about how they're making things now the default rather than you having to go in and opt out. So that's only going to make it harder for marketers when we think about trying to track people. But at the end of the day, this is their stance and a way for them to cut at the revenue of Google, in my opinion.
Yeah, actually, on our favorite podcast, The Pivot, I think Scott Galloway at one point talked about, you know, the people who buy iPhones. And I forget what he exactly said, but essentially he was saying that privacy and the fact that Google is, like, monetizing your data where Apple isn't as much, and they are really trying to sell that as a selling point of the Apple ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Then I was thinking, like, no one really cares. Of the people I know, I shouldn't say no one cares. There are people that care, and some of my friends are conscious of sharing data and mobile tracking, but most people are like, I want an iPhone because it's cooler, because rich people have iPhones. And it's more of a status symbol. You know, it's like a Mercedes.
Correct.
When you have the new iPhone 10. And that's why people buy it. All the other privacy stuff is, like, neat, but I don't know anyone that's like, I want to get, like, the popular new phone. There's iPhone, and then maybe the Pixel is starting to be kind of like a luxury brand. But when they do demographic splits of who owns iPhones and Androids, it's, like, very clear. Rich people buy Apple products. Not rich people buy Android. Of course, there's exceptions, like myself, because I own an Android, and we all know I'm filthy rich. So, but that's how the demographic breaks down. So we hear that a lot, where, like, Apple is, like, selling privacy. I don't know if anyone really cares, or it just becomes something that the employees can get behind and be like, we're a great company.
But I think you're also making a really good point that maybe the people that use iPhones are a higher value user. And so not being, again, with, I think we've gotten kind of sucked in and used to this idea of being able to track people all the time, no matter where they are, and be able to use this data, you know, for marketing reporting or our targeting for our ads. And I just think that there will be a shift. And I think we'll adapt really well. But I just bring that up because they sold $56 billion worth. And they have the leading market share on mobile browsers.
Yeah, remember when everyone was like, Steve Jobs is a legend and Tim Cook, you know, there's nothing innovative happening at Apple anymore. And, you know, the iPhone was the last innovation. And people really were like doom and glooming Apple. And then they just sold, whatever, $68 billion worth of iPhones for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like record revenue and record profit. So they produced $22 billion in net income. Profit and net income are kind of interchangeable when people talk about quote unquote profit. They often mean net income. So $22 billion. I mean, they made more in profit than Facebook made in revenue. And in addition to that profit, they paid out, they did like a stock buyback, and they paid a dividend for people who own Apple stock of something like $20 or $25 billion. So that's like generated $50 billion of just cash. And they are so cash rich, it's ridiculous. I forget the number, but they, you know, talk about in their earnings report. They're just have so much cash flow, it's outrageous. And I mean, when you sell $65 billion of iPhones, that have like a profit margin of like 50%. So they're doing very well. Apple's doing very
well. Yes.
The last company we will talk about is also doing well, not quite as well as Apple, but is Microsoft. So revenue, $37 billion. Net income, $14 billion. So about a third of the revenue of Apple, but only about half of the profit as Apple. But again, Apple did that buyback and like kind of got rid of a lot of their profit by like giving it back to investors. So I'm not an accountant, so I'm not entirely sure if that meant they would have done something more like $40 billion in net income. But Microsoft also did really well. In fact, and I just tweeted, let me find my tweet. What do you think of this Microsoft number? Anything interesting stand out?
For me, I'll just break out LinkedIn, right? If we all remember, they bought LinkedIn, I think, in 2016. So they don't give a ton of insight into LinkedIn, but we did see some things that they reported on that were interesting. They announced 600... 75 million members now on LinkedIn. From the last time they reported, that's roughly 1 million new users a week. So that was really impressive. Like when you think about that, it was like, oh, wow, you're doing 1 million users a week. That's pretty cool. However, I will just kind of caveat, it's worth noting that membership is fairly flat in the U.S. A lot of that is from international growth. So just keep that in mind as well. That said, LinkedIn's revenue is up 24%. And then they have this kind of interesting way of putting this. Sessions were up 25% with record levels of engagement. I am like, I'm taking this to our exec team and saying, hey, guys, can we just put out every quarter that we had record levels of engagement? Is that okay with everyone?
Right. You could. You absolutely could. And then when someone asks, you're like, well, when comparing video views of 9 seconds or more on mobile in Romania... engagement is up 500%. Yeah, that's kind of a fluff.
It's pretty vague. Yeah, pretty fluffy.
And the membership, too, it's tough because, you know, 660 members, but how many use it? So they, you know, they don't publish MAUs like most of the other platforms. So it's not entirely clear how many active accounts those 660 are. Again, compare that to Facebook has 2.5 billion monthly active users, while LinkedIn is saying they have 660 million members. A lot of those could be fake accounts or dead accounts or whatever. So the thing that I was amazed at is Microsoft is like growing across the board. LinkedIn grew, but really that wasn't even one of their fastest growing business units. We talked about Azure. That grew at 64% this quarter.
Wow.
Dynamics 365, which I never had to, like, I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. It's their like CRM/ERP product. So like a Salesforce or like an SAP billing system. That grew at 45%. And then Office 365, that grew at 30%. So they're doing well in these very like core Microsoft pieces. Like LinkedIn, you know, it was like a platform that's got its own customer base. It's kind of its own thing. Like, because the Bing ads did not grow much. Bing ads itself, like search advertising only grew by 7%. So that's like Bing and whatever's going on with Yahoo these days. I can't keep up. Do I get Yahoo traffic or do I not with Bing? Like, changes every month. Like, well, Verizon, Oath Media, and Bing, and international is no. But wait, but it depends. Like, okay. I think you get Yahoo again through Microsoft. But can you guess the only business unit that didn't grow?
I cheated and I saw your notes, but I was really surprised. I would have never guessed Xbox.
Yeah, you would think with gaming and Twitch and Amazon like exploding and the esports movement, Xbox was like the leader in online gaming. They were like one of the first ones to, you know, get you and your friends all online to play Halo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yet -8% actually shrunk. Xbox content and services fell. Like the products, like the hardware sales might be in another category, but Content and services, yeah, that actually fell 9%. I was blown away.
I was as well. I didn't see it coming, man.
And I would never think that, like, Word 365 was, like, doing well. Like,
this is, like, if you can afford Microsoft stock, I mean, just it's what Satya Nadella is doing. I mean, I'm giving stock advice, so I'm obviously a marketer. So take it with a grain of salt. But I just look at what they're doing. I look at these numbers, and I'm just like, why don't I own this? As I become more of an adult and I'm trying to learn about personal finance, I'm trying to understand what these numbers mean and the implications. If I were to buy their stock, I look at Apple, I look at Microsoft, and I'm like, man, they're not going anywhere. Like, these are incumbents that are firmly putting their foot down and are going to do well for the next 5 years.
And it's funny. It doesn't matter what's cool when then you see the financials and you're like, oh. Because, you know, 10 years ago when Google got into, like, Google Docs, I'm like, oh, Microsoft Word, no one's ever going to use it again. And then they had, you know, they changed their model. They moved to subscription-based. They put it on the cloud. And it worked. I mean, now, like, I would have thought, if you asked me when Google came out with their free version, I thought Word was going to be on a 10-year decline. No one smart would be using it. But I'm seeing it held on. It's deep into enterprise. And in startup land, forget it. Everybody uses Google products. And I thought, oh, well, so if you're a startup, use Google, you're never going to change when you get bigger, but it doesn't seem to matter. People keep buying Microsoft Word and Office.
All day.
Well, Macs are expensive. If you want to, you know, running a startup with a Mac as your product, which you have to do in the Bay Area because everybody will bitch if you don't give them Mac. Again, you got to have your Mercedes. Oh, you need your, you know, MacBook Pro. Even though you're like just using a browser and Excel every now and then, like, do you really need a like $1,700 computer? But in the Bay Area, yes, you do. Otherwise, you know, your employees go to Google and get free breakfast, lunch, dinner, and massages. So, but it's expensive. So I can see how when you leave the Bay Area, people are like, no, we have these like shitty IBM ThinkPads, like $400, like, reclaimed.
Acer.
Right. It's a little insight to running a startup in the Bay Area. Let's see, what else we got? There's a few other stories we should touch on, folks that aren't giving us their financials. Let's see, Pinterest. This story I know you must know personally because you've used this feature.
Oh, yeah.
The Pinterest augmented reality lipstick try-on feature. Tell me, how did you enjoy it? Did your lips look nice?
They look very plush, you know? Very impressive with this one, so... We played around with this one in the office yesterday. Our designer has the Pinterest app. She quickly opened it up and started like looking at the different shades. And it's kind of interesting, you know. So you hold it up to your face, and it's using augmented reality. It's like putting the shade of lipstick on. So it's basically making my lips that color. And then you can kind of look at yourself as if you were, you know, taking a selfie or something. And then you got like this scroll bar goes right to left underneath you. You can do different shades. And then once you're ready, you just tap below it and it'll take you to almost like a checkout, right? I will say, I do think it's a mess. And I think that's something that they'll fix. There's no checkout within Pinterest. It takes you to the website to check out. So I think that native checkout, when I think about what Instagram is doing, I do see that as like a huge bonus if they can figure that out. Because when you think about trying something on and being able to buy it immediately, I mean, that's only going to reduce that friction and increase sales, in my opinion. But
right.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun. Like, if you don't have the Pinterest app, go check it out. I think it's a pretty cool feature. And again, when you think about innovation, it's not something that you would necessarily expect, but I think it's very, very Pinteresty.
Well, it's also interesting, too, because obviously Snapchat and Instagram lenses,
right,
or filters, depending on the platform, do all this stuff, right? Beyond your lips, you could have Viking horns, and you could look like, oops, and you could look like an elephant. There's, like, all kinds of crazy filters. And I have nieces and nephews, so I'm on Snapchat. And, they're getting really good, where, like, you know, they're just getting really good. So then Pinterest is like, look, we can make your lips blue. It's like... Oh, on Snapchat, I'm like now on like a meerkat, and it looks very convincing, like my face, where they age you or make you a baby.
Yeah.
Pinterest is like, we got your lips blue, or red or green or whatever color you want. And we'll see. I wonder what happens when that lipstick shows up at your house, if it like remotely matches the color on your,
that's correct,
on your screen. Anyway, but it's good that Pinterest is getting into the AR game. AR is showing up everywhere. And then, of course, Twitter, I meant to ask you, are you a flight school graduate yourself, J.D. Prater?
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, I took it a couple years ago. It's pretty easy. It takes a couple hours to complete, but it's not hard.
It used to take a couple hours.
Yeah, used to. But so, go ahead. Yeah. Are you? Have you taken the new course? Are you going to take the course?
I think no. No, I think I looked at it and I was like, this is stupid. And I never take them. You were like, you're like a real marketer. You know, you probably put these badges on your LinkedIn profile.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
It's important that people are like, oh, this guy knows Twitter.
This guy knows.
I'm like, these things don't teach you anything. You got to run a Twitter campaign for 30 days and you'll learn 10 times as much as you learn in all these courses. Google is maybe the exception, but even that, like, people, you know, we interview new CS people that don't know paid search. And they're like, oh, I'm going to take the Google test. I'm like, just get a credit card, $5, run a campaign, go through all the headaches, use the help center. Like, that's way better than sitting through, like, 400 hours of, like, what taxes do you have to pay if you're an international business running Google ads on display? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I think this one is probably more similar to, like, Facebook's Blueprint when I think through it. Although with Blueprint, it costs money and you get watched, you know, like it's like proctored. And I'm just like, No, that's ridiculous. Why would I pay money for this? This is dumb. But I think this one, I think it's good. It just kind of like walks you through like campaign performance. And of course it allows them to shape the narrative that they want around video campaigns. And, you know, you should be doing this because they have a better cost per engagement. And I think it's really what it comes down to. I'd love to see the ROI of this, marketers that complete this that actually spend, and do they spend more? But yeah, good for Twitter.
And you usually get some free swag. So if you want like a water bottle or a notebook or something like that, usually is a good way to get it. I think you used to get a pen and a notebook because we're Twitter ad partners, so we just get it anyway. So I have a lot of Twitter stuff. In fact, my headphones, which you can't see, but
still rocking those?
Yeah, I don't have them on right now, actually, now that I'm seeing myself in the video. But yeah, they gave us, I think they say Twitter Flight School. That was from like the first year they did it. Maybe it says Twitter Partners, but those are great. They're like not Beats, but they're like knockoff Beats, and they're pretty nice. Okay, last story about YouTube and radicalization. Say that 10 times fast. Radicalization.
We've heard this one a lot, right? This story's been in the news. What I found different with this one, they did a very large-scale study, and they were looking for traces of evidence, specifically not in the video itself, but in the likes, the comments, and the views. And so what they actually found was that certain right-leaning YouTube communities, they're acting as gateways to fringe far-right ideology. So it's almost like a gateway drug. You know, we talk about that, or you've heard this analogy. But what you can imagine is you would watch this one video that wasn't so bad, but it's opening up and pushing you, as far as engagement goes, to the very, like, far-right, which we all know has cropped up, and it's, you know, not necessarily the best thing. So they looked at 330,000 videos posted across 349 channels. So really, really cool. Go check this one out, because it was analyzing like 72 million comments. This is a very large scale when we think through this study.
And I love the term they use to describe stuff that's not alt-right, but it like introduces you to it, is alt-light. Yeah.
Like, alt-light. I like that one, too.
Right. It's like Bud Light or something. It's like, well, it's like beer, but it's lighter. It just gets you over into the radical territory with some alt-light news. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually a little surprised. Like,
never read the comments.
It's so tough.
Never read the comments,
you know what
on
I mean?
YouTube.
Okay.
Never read the comments.
There you go.
On
you heard it. You heard it from Paul.
They are super trolly. I think of all the trolliest comments, YouTube might be the trolliest. Like Reddit, Quora, Facebook. I think YouTube is just like people are the most terrible and weird and like just insulting. Yeah. I can't. Maybe Twitch, because the gaming community is kind of also like fairly toxic. No offense, But if you go to Twitch and you like watch someone stream a video game, it's like every fifth thing is like something that you're like, oh geez, like it's getting better. They're like the filters, like the auto filters and all that are getting better. But just like that in-game chat too for like all the video games, like is pretty terrible. I'm speaking of Xbox Live doing terrible, I remember when my nephew was, I might have told the story before, he was like 10 playing Call of Duty or something where you're shooting people, and my brother's like, oh, he's just playing video games. I'm like, well, yeah, he's like murdering other people. And then of course on Xbox Live with the little headset, you know, he was like 12 and be talking to like all these kids cursing and saying horrible things and insulting each other. I was like, you can't be no headset, no. Tried to tell my brother, you can disable the like audio. He's like, okay. It's crazy.
I think to kind of put a bow on this one, their conclusion with this one was, if it's difficult to make an absolute claim that YouTube is to blame, right? Because people want to point fingers at this and who is to blame, who should take responsibility. So they said, like, it's hard to blame YouTube outright. However, they're the host of these communities, and so the platform is responsible to some extent. And I look at what Quora does. I look at what Pinterest does. We try to take this stuff down when we can, right? It does violate our community standards and our norms and our guidelines. I feel like these other ones don't do that, and I wish they would kind of step up. And even like Twitter, you know, like if someone's making threats, I don't care if what level they are, you should probably remove them or ban them or make them sit out for a week or something. You know, there needs to be some kind of ramifications. And I do hope, you know, moving in 2020, that some of these companies start to take this a little bit more serious.
Yeah, there should be like penalties for being an asshole. I think like if you're an asshole, even on the internet, like, you know, you should be kicked out of the platform. Like, I don't know, if you put people in a room and someone was just super insulting and nasty to everybody, you know, the society would push them out of that group. You know, that would, you push them out of your friend group or your business or whatever. But for some reason online we tolerate it. Like, there's this weird, everybody gets a voice no matter what, like, you know, it's just weird. It's like, anyway, I don't want to weigh too far into it. We're going to get an angry iTunes one star if we talk too much about censoring a certain president on Twitter when he says terrible things. So we will leave it there. Thank you for joining us this week. That's all the headlines we have. If you want more, you could always head over to blog.adstage.io. Enjoy your week.
See you guys.